Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, good morning. Welcome to part two of our Christmas series, So God Came to Us. How many of you are thankful today we couldn't get to God, so God came to rescue us? And if you got your Bibles with me today, Luke chapter 1, in week number 1 of this, we looked at the announcement to Joseph that he was going to really be the stepfather of Jesus. And we saw two key things that were pivotal for us to understand about Jesus. That number one, he was born of a virgin and he was born under the law. Why is that important? He was born of a virgin because the virgin birth tells us that this wasn't just any ordinary man. This wasn't just a good teacher or a great leader or a philosopher. This was God that came to rescue us. But not only that, he was born under the law. What was the law? The Ten Commandments, the things that was condemning us. He was born underneath that so he could fulfill them, that what was condemning us would be removed from us on the cross. How many of you are thankful today that Jesus came to rescue us? And today I want to look at a little bit more of that. That's God's great initiative coming to us. So what does it look like to facilitate God in our lives? What does it look like to make a little bit of room for God? And I think that a lot of the Christmas story is filled with people that were having unexpected divine encounters with God. And I think there's some people who made room for him, and I think there's some people who didn't. I mean, have you ever thought about the guy at the inn? That poor guy, man, he could have been in the book as a good part of the story, but he just had no room at the inn. I would have kicked somebody out if I would have known differently, you know what I mean? But how many of you know it takes a little bit of effort in our lives to make some room for God? And before we do, I want to celebrate really a great group of people that make a lot of room for God to work in them and through them throughout this Christmas season. It's all of our My City Church creative teams, and they work countless hours behind the scenes. We just had an amazing Heart and Soul where so many people gave their lives to Christ. They got this amazing Christmas spectacular production that they are just serving and giving, not because they're getting payment or anything else in return. It's because they love Jesus and they love people. I think that that's worth celebrating. And maybe you've been coming around here, or maybe this is your first time. You're going, man, I love this place. I'm looking to get more involved. Every single week, right after this service at 12:45, we have our next classes. I say this all the time. You give us 4 weekends. We'll help you engage in our church culture. We'll help you establish spiritual foundations in your life, how to read your Bible, how to pray. We'll equip you by helping you discover your gifts, your talents, and your spiritual abilities and where they fit best inside the local church. And we'll even begin to empower your leadership. 4 weekends to get your life back on a brand new course. And this weekend is step 3, which is equip. It's all about helping you find your place to make a difference here at My City Church. Because we believe that God didn't bring you here by accident, but God brought you here on purpose. And that's to make a difference in people's lives as we serve and worship Jesus. How many of you believe that today? Well, Luke chapter 1, this is a story about an angel announcing to Mary that she was going to be the mother of the Son of God. And here's what it says. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, for those of you that don't know who Elizabeth is a relative of Mary's. She is also the mother of John the Baptist. Okay, John the Baptist. So in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I mean, if you have to have an angel show up, this is a good way to get greeted. You know what I mean? Like, you're favored, God's with you. But look at Mary. Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So she's wondering, what's the implications of why you're here and why are you saying that I'm highly favored? And it says, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor," say found favor, "with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Such an amazing passage of scripture, almost hard to imagine what it would have been like to be Mary. Today I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought, room for God. Room for God. Are we making room for God? Can I pray today? Father, we thank you today that you are here, that you are present. God, I pray that you would help us to create space in our world, in our schedules, in our time, in our passion, in our priorities. May we be able to make some room for you, that you might come and fill our life with your purposes and your plans. Lord, we worship you and we honor you in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Come on, if you love Jesus today, can we make some noise for him before we go any farther? So, have you ever felt overwhelmed during the Christmas season? Like, let's be honest. Like, have you ever felt just overwhelmed? Like, your schedule begins to change. You've got what? You've got your company Christmas party. And then you got your spouse's company Christmas party. Then you got the church Christmas party. Then you got the Christmas party that you can't even remember what it was for anymore. You just know you're wearing the same ugly Christmas sweater. You're at another Christmas party, you know? Then you've got the pressure of what? You gotta buy gifts, and you gotta go shopping, and you have Amazon. Praise God for Amazon. I think Amazon is the only thing that's making my Christmas less stressful. And then there's other things that people plan. How about these people who have birthdays in the month of December? Anybody out there, birthday in the month of December? I think it should just be a rule. Nobody's allowed to be born in the month of December, okay? Like, birthday parties in the middle of Christmas season. You know what I mean? How about this? How about people that get married in December? Then you got weddings. I had to do a wedding yesterday. I love this couple with all my heart. But I remember I'm going, and I'm prepping for the weekend. We got this Christmas spectacular. I got all this other stuff going on. We got gifts. My wife's putting pressure that we have to do a Christmas card for the church. Like, I love them, but I just got so many things. I remember I go to the wedding yesterday. I get up there, and in the middle of just my brain being overwhelmed, I mispronounce the bride's name. Yeah, exactly. You talking about feeling like you just want to crawl under a rock and cry, you know what I mean? It's like Christmas, man. It's just this whirlwind of priorities and things going on. And, you know, I can't help but think sometimes that I get frustrated sometimes with Christmas, despite how much we actually celebrate the festivities. Think about it for a moment. Some of the greatest memories, some of the greatest joys, some of the greatest experiences, family traditions, some of these things that really is what life is made out of, bring us, can be in the middle of a season that can also bring stress, change in our patterns. Like, that's why we get stressed out, right? Because there's a change to my plans. Like, I didn't make plans to make room for all of this. Like, I didn't make plans. This isn't my normal routine. This isn't the direction that I was expecting to go. And now there's these demands. There's this space being taken up, and I have to make room for Christmas. See, we think we are 2,000 years later still making room for Christmas. Think about this for a moment. Jesus was born, and 2,000 years later, it's still rearranging our lives. It's still making changes to our schedule. It's still shifting our priorities. In fact, sometimes it's still pulling out the best in us rather than the worst in us. It's teaching us generosity and giving and the joy of the season and family and celebration. Jesus, 2,000 years later, is still rearranging our lives. If we think it's rearranging our lives, could you imagine being Mary? Just think about this for a moment. Mary, most theologians would tell us that she was around the age of 15. So here is a young girl at the age of 15, and she has a plan. Like, she has a plan. We know a couple of things, and hopefully I don't have to explain this too much to you, but she's a virgin, which tells us that she had a plan to what? Wait for her husband. She is a young girl who is living for God. She has her priorities. She has a plan. Now, we also know that she is engaged to be married to Joe. Joe's a great man as well, because we know that the Bible says that Joseph was a man who respected and honored the laws of God. So here is this great, here's what I'm saying. This is a couple who is doing everything right. They're doing everything right. They're serving God. They have a prayer life. They're doing things God's way. They're engaged to be married. They are in the middle of what anybody would say. This is a quintessential God-fearing, God-loving couple. They have plans. Joe's going to be a carpenter. They're going to buy a house. They're going to have 2.5 kids. Some of you are like, that's the American dream. Well, just work with me here, okay? Like, they got the plans. They know where they're going. But isn't it interesting that when the announcement of Jesus' birth came to a young girl named Mary, the announcement was going to rearrange her life? Just think about this for a moment. Just look at how the angel speaks to Mary. He shows up. Number one, can you imagine being here in this scenario? You know what I mean? Like, you're a young girl, and all of a sudden, boom, there's an angel. And then they say, highly favored one. You're like, who are you talking to, Doug? Like, are you talking to me? And he's like, yeah, you're highly favored. There's just something about Mary. I mean, you're like, don't do that. I had to throw it in there. You know what I mean? But he's going, there's something special about you, Mary. There's favor on your life. Notice that God's favor is directly connected to the interruption of Mary's plans. Like, you've got to get this for a moment. She's got plans. Like, I'm going to get married. I'm going to move into a house. Me and Joseph are going to have a great life. We're going to have kids. We're going to serve God. At nowhere in her journey. Nowhere. Like, I promised you. Like, at nowhere in her journey was she just, like, sitting back on a hammock going, God, you know what my plans are? I would just like for you to get me pregnant. And then I'm going to have to share that with my fiance. And when I tell him I'm pregnant, he's going to ask me who. And I can be like, well, the guy's kind of everywhere. He's just kind of everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, he's just everywhere. And then not only that, but then we're going to have the child. And then Herod is going to make a declaration because he fears this king of the Jews that the wise men were announcing, and he's going to kill every baby in the country, and the angel has to warn them to run to Egypt. Nowhere, nowhere did Mary go, you know what? This is the plans of God in my life. Like, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Don't we love these scriptures? But oftentimes we quote these scriptures and we pray for the favor of God and we pray for God to work in our life, but we forget that God's ways are not our ways, that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I think the Bible says it something like this. No mind, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive the purposes and the plans God has for you. I want to ask you a question today. Are you open? Let me ask that again. Only you can answer this for yourself. Are you open to receive what you've actually been praying for? See, I think we get in love with the idea of God's blessing and God's favor. We pray prayers something a little bit more like this, right? Like, God, I'm in this relationship, and he seems like a pretty good guy, and we may work out, but if you could show me some favor and help him with his anger, like, then my plan would work out. Then my plan, or we pray prayers like this, like, God, I'm starting a business, and God, I want you to show favor. I want to build a Fortune 500 company. And we pray these prayers that are what? Like it's just going to float out of the heaven. And there it is, full grown, you know, all the way through. We don't realize that favor has a process attached to it. Could you imagine in your life if things didn't have a process to it? Could you imagine Mary? Imagine Mary. She finds out one day she's pregnant. Okay, oh, I got to tell Joseph. Next day, she gives birth. The next day, Jesus is 6'4". Could you imagine that? The next day, he's got a full-grown beard. 5 days later, she's got a full-grown man with a beard in her house, and she's going, what the heck just happened? How did this happen to me? How many are thankful that sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers the way we think he's going to answer our prayers? How many are thankful today that sometimes favor comes in a seed rather than a fulfillment of the great thing that we think God ought to do? And here's what I need you to get. This angel is announcing to Mary. Mary has plans. Mary's going somewhere. And he's announcing favor to her. And what is the favor to her? It's the seed. Literally, for her, it's going to be planted in her womb that over a process is going to reorient her life in a direction she never thought she would go. Could it be today that we don't need a God that we can touch base with every once in a while to get him to, like, hey, I got these plans. God, what do you think about this? Can you bless this? What if we need something so much deeper than that? What if the message of Christmas is that our plans, even the good ones like Mary and Joseph have, there's so much more that God wants to do in your life. There's so much more. The question is can we carry what God places in us? You got to get this for just a moment here. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. She has this moment with an angel, and the angel says, how, like, you are going to give birth to the Son of God. She goes, how? And he goes, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. You want to know how things become favored in your life? You want to know how to take your business to a new level in 2019? You want to know how to take your marriage to a new place? You want to know how to get into the Word and it help you? You know how? You've got to have the Holy Spirit active on the inside of your life. He is the one that what? Bursts new things in our life, and we determine what we do with that thing. Here's what I need each of you to fully understand. I'm trying to help you fully understand how God works in your life. Everything in the kingdom of God begins in seed form. Okay? Just think about it. The way it naturally, anything that's planted on planet Earth began what? As a seed. anything that's going to grow up in your life is going to begin as a seed in your life. Here's the way God works. God shows up into your world, much like Mary's, and he plants something on the inside of you through the power of the Holy Spirit. He gets into your world. He begins to stir something on the inside of us. And then we determine what we do with the seed that's been planted on the inside of us. The Bible says, Jesus said it like this, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Though it may be the smallest of all the seeds, if it is planted in the ground, it will grow into a massive tree that what? Provides shelter for the birds. What's it saying? That what God has planted in you through the Holy Spirit will grow up and it will bring favor and blessing, not just to your life, but to the world around you, to the people around you. God wants to do something big in your world. God comes to us to plant things on the inside of us. Our response back is to be faithful with letting it grow up on the inside of us. So let's get back to Mary and see how this would actually work practically in her life. That's why I love this illustration with Mary, because it's like, yeah, I mean, it's figuratively, literally in your face what God does with us spiritually. She is now, what? Pregnant. Now, for all of our ladies in here, none of us guys can fully understand this. I do know what it's like to have a pregnant wife and to experience what happens to the center of her world when she becomes pregnant. Like, I've never seen a mom expect their unborn child to serve them. Like, am I connecting the dots here for you? That I've never seen a mom go, oh, my wife's never got up when Zion was a baby and like, Zion, when are you going to get a job? Like, all you do is cry and pee and poop. Like, when are you going to get a job? Like, when are you going to start helping me? Like, when are you going to become my helper? Because why? Like, we all get that, but that's not why we have kids. The reason that something is born through us is to what? That it makes the world a better place. We help the purposes of that child move forward. We what? We nurture it. We care for it. We what? We alter our schedules. We alter our priorities. We alter what? The things that matter most to us. Like, I used to love to go shopping. You're like, you're such a girl. I used to love to go shopping for clothes. Then I had Zion. How many of you know your priorities change? What I put my money towards changes. Because why? What is on the inside of me is now reorienting my life. Could it be that God wants to do something in your world that is similar to Mary? That God wants to put something on the inside of you that begins to reorient your world. It begins to adjust your priorities. It begins to shift your finances. It begins to what? It's a God thing, and we're here to nurture it and release it and let it become what it was supposed to. The real problem, I think, is that we think favor is a child that will serve us. And the reality for each one of us, if I could look each one of you in the eye, what God has for you is so much better than that. What God wants to do in your world is so much better than that. In fact, I would tell you the kind of favor I think that most people pray for would destroy them if God answered it. Because they are what? Praying for something they've never learned to sustain, to care for, to carry. See, God came to rescue us, but then God came to give us a life that has been reoriented towards the purposes and the plans of God. Come on, how many of you believe that today? Give me a good amen. So here's Mary. She's in this process, and she's carrying literally the purposes and the plans of God. She's literally carrying the Son of God. God has come to her. God has come to her. But in this moment, before that, she had an opportunity. Imagine what would have happened if Mary said, "Nope, not for me. No room here. But God, I got plans. Can't you just use the child that will be Joseph and I's to change the world? Can we kind of like alter the plan around? Or could it be a little bit more? I'm not really into being like inconvenienced. I'm not really into like reorienting my life. I don't want to go through any struggle or pain. I thought serving you just meant like it was going to be like kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. You know, I thought it was just going to be, you know, beautiful with no struggle." Back, God's actually saying right the opposite of that. Sometimes favor brings struggle. Sometimes God's blessing changes everything. Sometimes things feel like they're getting worse before they get better. We're faithful as Mary was. But what was her response? She, first off, was like, "How could this be?" Which gives me a whole lot of hope, right? Like, Mary was human. Mary had questions. Mary had concerns. Mary's a little freaked out. But at the end of it, she didn't allow what was inconvenient, what made her feel insecure, what made her doubt, what made her fearful, get in the way of willing to risk and to say yes. What does she say to the angel? She says, "Be it done unto your servant." What did she say? She fully understood that the purposes and the plans of God did not come to just serve us, but what Jesus did on the cross already served us. And the life that I now live, I live in response to serve that purpose and that plan. She's saying, "I'm here to make some room for God. Despite if it's inconvenient, despite the 14 Christmas parties this Christmas season, I'm going to make some room for God in my life." How many of you think Mary, looking back on her life, like, "Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have done that. Should have just shut that process down. Should have just stuck to my plans and my purposes." I don't think for a moment. I think of the times where she doubted the purposes of the plans of God. Fast forward 33 years later, she would lay at the foot of a cross and watch her son be nailed to it. Even in those moments, her seeing the purposes and the plans of God flesh out in her life. Friends, that's what you were born for. That's what you were born for. The whole world is searching for joy and contentment and peace and fulfillment. The only way that we find it is to let God come to us and plant something on the inside of us and allow that thing to grow up and reorient our lives, that this thing becomes less and less about me and more about Him. I must decrease so that He can increase. My life and my purpose is about serving Jesus. Gotta make room for God. Gotta make room for God. In your busyness of life, is there room for God? Because we believe God came to us. But here's the beautiful thing. He keeps coming to us. He wants to see if there's room in your life. Is there room in your priorities? Is there room in your finances? Is it room for Him to make adjustments to plans that you never thought you would do? But His plans are greater than your plans, and His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. How many believe that we serve a good God and you can't lose following his plans? I want to die like Mary at the end of my life, going, I got no regrets. I kept saying yes. I just kept saying yes. I kept saying yes to the purposes and the plans of God. I have people all the time, and I'm concluding right now, ask me, Pastor Jesse, how did you become a pastor? I said, I don't think I became one. Like, to be honest with you, I think God started doing something in my life, and I just kept on saying yes to it. Like, that's basically the sum total of how I became a pastor. Like, it started with a person at a harvest festival. I'd been going to church for like 2-3 weeks, asking me, hey, you want to help us load some bales of hay off this truck? What I didn't realize is I said yes. It was a semi of hay. You know what I mean? Like, oh, man. I wasn't expecting that. At 3 in the morning, we got done. 3 in the morning, wasn't as many volunteers as I thought there was going to be. Very sore, very tired, completely fulfilled. Then a few weeks later, the same person, I think this person was meant to rearrange my life and mess with me. She came to me and she says, hey, we got this thing, it's called a food bank. We need people to come and help sort out the stuff in the food bank. And I said, yeah, I can do that. I showed up, I did it. And how many of you know, the request just kept on going and going and going. But I kept on saying yes. And every yes, don't get me wrong, it's only so much you can take on in life. Every once in a while, you gotta let go of some things if you wanna keep on saying yes. Okay? This isn't a message to say, get yourself crazy busy and that's the purposes of God. What it is to say, is God working in your life? Are you saying yes to those things? Because for every yes, that thing that God has put on the inside of you gets a little bit stronger, a little bit bigger, a little bit greater. And then once it is birthed out of you, it makes a difference. It puts purpose in your life. Could it be that Mary's story is your story today? That God is coming to you going, can I get a yes? Be it unto me, your servant. With every head bowed and every eye closed in here today.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.